So do we need the Sabbath?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay.
What for?
What for? Okay, we always got a cantankerous one. What?
Why did God make it anyway? He said everything was good after 6 days.
Why did he make it? So,
yeah, why did he make
what
it?
Do we need about the Sabbath?
To draw us near to him.
To draw us near to him. Okay, so 6 days a week, we kind of, not attend, and seventh day, we kind of, okay, let's check in here. Yeah, he says, yeah.
I think he knew the workaholics.
Knew the workaholics.
Take a day off to come worship him.
So we knew that we wouldn't attend him unless there was a day set aside.
I wouldn't. You know, I mean, if I didn't have the Sabbath and didn't have a good reason for saying I'm not working today,
mm-hmm.
I'd still be working.
Would you?
Sure.
Okay.
But that's just me.
That's you. How about the rest of you? What do you need the Sabbath?
A reminder of creation.
Reminder of creation. Okay. What about the Sabbath reminds you of creation?
Because he made that day holy.
Because he made the day holy.
Yeah.
Now that's an interesting idea. God, 6 days of the week, created, and the seventh day he rested. Now, go ahead.
Why do we have 7 day weeks?
He set it up.
He set it up. There's nothing in the atmosphere and the stars or whatever that guides us through that. Nothing on the earth.
No?
Only God gave us 7 days.
Only what?
Only God gave us 7 days.
God gave us 7 days.
So it's a reminder of him.
Okay. But what do you think it meant God rested on the seventh day? I mean, does he rest like you and I rest?
He done for us because he knows we're going to need rest.
So, does God need the Sabbath?
No.
No.
No, he doesn't need it, but he sure enjoys it.
He enjoys it. Go ahead.
I think he just said the rest is on Sabbath because he needed man would need it, but it's time. It's to set aside time for us that we could spend time with him without our worldly pressures.
Okay, so he didn't need it, but he knew the time.
We needed time with him without the outside influences.
Go ahead, you had.
Yesterday, I worked really hard yesterday afternoon finishing up, fixing up our front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could relate to the 6 days of creation, even though I didn't create, I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat there this morning and looked at it. Oh, that's good.
Okay. So you had the experience of sitting there this morning, looking at your handiwork, whatever that was in the yard, and feeling satisfied.
God was just really happy to see how everything was working.
Okay.
I mean, because everything related to each other, everything worked with each other. I mean, when you really start studying the body, how he just knelt down with some clay and devised every single little organ that is dependent upon every other organ in our body. I mean, I have no idea. Even begin to fathom what goes on, but I've done enough that it's just like, wow, this is crazy.
Okay. So, the consensus is that God doesn't need the Sabbath, but he rested. He looked over and surveyed what he had done and felt satisfied. So God doesn't need to be satisfied? God doesn't need... What?
I would say he would.
You think he would, huh?
Yeah.
Well, why did he make us?
Why did he?
For his glory.
For his glory and for mm-hmm. someone to communicate with.
You know, it's interesting because the seventh-day Sabbath tends to be a defining thing about us as people, as Seventh-day Adventists. But it really sometimes has lost the meaning. And I think sometimes in the focus on which day we worship, we sometimes forget and we lose the whole purpose. That was exactly what was happening during when Jesus came to this earth. The title of the lesson is Christ as the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, and there in the lesson it talks about the things Jesus did that violated the rules of the Sabbath at the time, and how he still went to the sanctuary on the Sabbath and he worshiped on the Sabbath. But to me, I think we have to get back into what is the Sabbath experience? What is the Sabbath experience, and what was it intended for? And, you know, you think about the creation story and that reality that in creation, God looked over his created work and rested. And I think there was a sense of satisfaction. I think there was a sense of, ah, look at this. You know, don't you like the creative process and then afterwards look at it? There's something about that, whatever it is, whether it's a physical thing or whether some other kind of thing, there's a satisfaction. Go ahead.
You know, when God created us, he created us with a desire to worship. And so man will either worship God or he will worship something.
Mm-hmm.
Be it idols, be it his handiwork, whatever it is. But we all have a tendency to desire worship. And I believe that God needs the Sabbath because he is listening for our worship. He desires our worship. And he loves us because we worship him. And, you know, his plan is in action. You say you look back at what you've done. And I believe God looks down at us and he sees, here is my faithful few. And his heart is glad because of that. It says the angels sing. Can't you imagine what's happening in heaven right now? You know, I look at that as, yeah, we're a joy to God. And so, yes, the Sabbath means a lot to him. Or he would have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
So just my take.
And it's interesting you said he created us. And he desires us, and he is love, and therefore he desires that experience of having that reciprocated. Isn't there something valuable about people reciprocating things to you? When you offer something, when you have a connection and someone acknowledges you. Now it's interesting what Ron said about his brother. He said, right now he doesn't want any phone calls or that. You know, there's another reality. Sometimes we just need to get real inside of ourselves and get really focused on our own process. And to have other people come into our physical space, even to say, I hope you're doing better, takes sometimes the awareness of we're out of ourselves. At this point, his brother needs to experience that healing inside, that discovering and coming to that still small voice. And what happens when there's a lot of voices around? All of a sudden you have trouble hearing your own still small voice. And that's a real challenge. That's a real challenge. One thing I've learned in working with people in therapy is, sometimes silence is the most powerful thing you can offer somebody. Sometimes silence touches a nerve where voices would just create more confusion. Go ahead, I saw a hand up over here.
Well, the Sabbath in creation, God created this. God created the heavens and earth. See the water, the man, and then he rested on the Sabbath, and he shared that rest with Adam and Eve as an experience of, you know, creation. And that Sabbath, I think, is what God desires from each of us. It's sort of it's built into the DNA of creation altogether. The Sabbath of the Ten Commandments sometimes takes over our thinking. And we forget that the same God that wrote the Ten Commandments created Sabbath, you know, rested on the first. first Sabbath of Israel begin with. So, so it's just a matter of, you know, it's almost like we need to kind of almost redefine, because it's the same God who wrote, commanded. So,
I think everybody has a Sabbath experience. What stops us at times? Cancer? Just a second, Jim. Cancer? Heart attack? Divorce? And to me, sometimes those moments are opportunities that sort of stops us, where we have to start looking and evaluating things, where we have to start questioning, we have to start reevaluating. And I think that's what the Sabbath was meant to do each week. Now, we can override it. I mean, if you really study the body like you were talking about, we have a certain rhythm of in our body. You know, every 90 minutes we kind of go through a cycle. We have a sleep cycle. We can override these things. But what's going to happen if we do? Stress, anxiety, tension. And how does that then play out itself? I mean, it's so funny to think about these high-paying executives that pay thousands of dollars to go away for a weekend. And what do? They turn in their cell phones. They have no electronic. They get rid of their watches. They go in and they do some of the silliest things during this weekend of thing. And what do they talk about is, oh, I just feel so much more refreshed. I feel so much more connected. Well, isn't it crazy? When that's really what God has intended all of us to do on a weekly basis? We tend to think about it in terms of worship and going to church and what we don't do. But really, it's a matter of what is it going to do for us? Go ahead.
Yeah, just what you're saying, it just reminds me of God's love for us.
Absolutely.
And so then in return, it reveals His character. So, you know, the Sabbath is revealing what He's like.
Absolutely it is.
Communicating that to us through the Sabbath.
Because it shows you how much He knows us and loves us, the fact that He created it. But oh, what was the Sabbath when Jesus came to this earth? It was counting your steps. It was making sure you knew exactly what you were supposed to do. Some of you know, my daughter works in an ER room in Brooklyn at a Jewish hospital. Well, on the Sabbath day, they cannot sign a piece of paper, so they have to tell them everything, because a lot of the Hasidic Jews there will not sign a piece of paper. There's a Sabbath elevator. The Sabbath elevator, you get in and it stops at every floor for you don't have to push a button. There's a Sabbath elevator. So
they will watch television, but if you start it on, they won't start it.
Yeah.
I have the guy working with me, you know, and he used to live next door when he moved here from California. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very weird. When I talk to him, you know, it's a funny situation, he tells me, you know. He will watch television, but he's not going to put it on. I have to do it somebody.
Okay, he'll watch it. He'll be a passive participant, but he won't actively turn on. You know, it sounds ridiculous, but you know what? It's really important to understand that's a mindset. And what is that mindset? The mindset is, I've got to do everything right. If I don't do it right, I'm punished. Go ahead, Charles. Go ahead.
Is that working their way into heaven?
You tell me. What do you think?
I think so.
Okay. Charles.
Passing me by.
Oh.
This is really important.
Okay.
And that is that almost half of the world, if you go over to Europe, if you're a world traveler, they worship on Sunday, and they call Sunday the Sabbath, and the calendars over there, then almost most of the nations that you go to have Sunday as the Sabbath day. They start with Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when you're an Adventist and you travel, you have to get used to that other people using the Sabbath as a day of business. And that's kind of hard to work with, you know, unless you're specifically a seven-day Sabbath keeper.
Okay. It's a different mindset. Go ahead, Charles.
Now, Sabbath, to me, over life has totally changed. When I was a teenager and going to school, it came, well, during the summer, my father was a crop duster, and all summer long, 6 days a week, we worked 15, 16, 17 hours a day. And in the summer, Sabbath was just the day to really rest, sleep.
Sleep. It was space. Really rest. Huh?
Totally rest. Uh-huh. And then when I go back to King, Sabbath was a day of you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, it's just basically wearing shackles, and it was nothing special. And then as I mature and getting to working and business life, Sabbath became so special. Not only as I got closer to Christ, I could have a day that I could set aside that I could study or read or relax, but on Friday afternoon, it was the day where I could shut off the computer, shut off the phones, and just totally get away from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our Sabbath revolves, but, you know, at one point, the Adventist Church on Sabbath wasn't too far away from what the Jews were at the time of Christ.
That's true. I think that's true. And unfortunately, we when we have differences, we sometimes use those differences to define ourselves. And that's a terrible way to present yourself. I mean, that's what creates racial tension. Differences. Suddenly there's a different color skin. Well, as a Seventh-day Adventist, I think we've used the Seventh-day Sabbath as a way to differentiate ourselves, almost like we're want to create a feeling like we're different, we're special than, more special than. When, what has it really meant? What is the Sabbath experience? And what does it do for us? How does it recreate us? Go ahead.
I think, you know, we all come back to that being a day of rest. And, you know, sometimes we'll also talk about it being a day of worship, or and it is. But every day we should be actively worshiping God. And I once had a conversation with a guy about talking about the Sabbath, and he said, well, I worship God every day. So what makes the Sabbath a special day? And really, if you look at creation and the Ten Commandments, and it focuses on that day of rest. And when we think of the things that the Jews or, you know, conservative Adventists in the past or whatever have done, it's been a way to try to make it a day where it becomes a day of rest. But what they've done by saying this is what you can and can't do, it then becomes a day of you know, do's and don't do's. When I look at what I do on Sabbath, I look to back to, is this a restful, does this lead to a restful experience for me? And if I can say, you know, no, this is going to lead to stress or lead to anxiety or these types of things, then I say, okay, that's not something that I'm going to do on Sabbath because of that experience. And, I mean, for example, you know, or if it leads to, and I was talking to Rick just yesterday about, you know, something that, for example, and it's just an example, for me, I would go canoeing on Sabbath, but I wouldn't go whitewater rafting on Sabbath. And someone would say, well, that's legalism. But for me, it's a matter of where's my frame, where's my mind at that moment when I'm canoeing. It's like going for a hike or a walk or something. Where's my mind and my state of mind when I'm rafting? Oh, it's the exhilaration, the, you know, the adrenaline rush, and these types of things that don't put me in that kind of restful kind of frame of mind. And that's what we should do is when we're thinking about the Sabbath, is where is my mind when I'm doing or not doing these things? And we really, instead of leading someone else to say, well, you shouldn't do this or you should do that, looking at our own selves and say, what are the things that we do or not do that lead to that restful experience that is, you know, is it not, you know, getting our ankles wet or not getting our knees wet? You know, or is it, you know,
And I think that's what I think that's what we tend to do is try to define it in terms of what we do instead of the experience. And that's why I think it's important to get understanding what the experience is. This book called Keeping the Sabbath Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, is written by someone who's not an Adventist. But to put down here, to keep the Sabbath is not a legalistic duty. Rather, living in accordance with our own natural rhythm gives freedom. The delight of one whole day in every seven set apart is holy, H-O-L-L-Y. Come with me into the experience of observing the Sabbath, and you will discover for yourself, or rather in yourself, the meaning of holy time. Doesn't that appeal to you? Doesn't that invite you? Come to understand that. That's an important thing.
The key word he said, discover for yourself.
Absolutely.
Not what everybody else tries to tell you what you ought to do and not to do.
She goes.
These lessons, this teacher about women, you should be taking over his class here. Look at that. Women in ministry, women with gratitude and faith. It's your class this week.
So, that's next week, Jim. That's next week. That's next week. That's next week.
That's next week?
Yeah.
But you set us up. We'll get
ready. But it also also goes on and says, this is a her that wrote this book. I hope and pray that this book will stir you in the desire to put into your life more Sabbath customs, more Sabbath freedom, more Sabbath delight, a Sabbath spirituality. I love the way that she wrote that. And you know how she celebrates Sabbath? It's every Saturday night. She gets ready for Sabbath on Sunday. And she spends the whole day. But you know what? This kind of invitation is what I think draws people to the Sabbath. That kind of recognition of it's a delight. She goes on to write, in Judaea, the Sabbath is loved as a bride or a queen. Deep in our beings, there's a longing for completion. And all sorts of prostitutes in our culture compete to satisfy that yearning. Only holy time in which we experience the presence of God can fill our emptiness. When we focus on our love for the bride, nothing else matters. May our growing together to understand the meaning of Sabbath keeping give you the opportunity to fall in love with the Sabbath queen and thereby love more deeply the King of the universe. Sabbath is supposed to get us more in touch with the love of the King of the universe. And what a draw that is when we think of that. What a draw that is when we experience being drawn into understanding the God of the universe. The thing I really enjoy a lot about what I do in counseling is I get involved with these kids, and you know how the simplest things you do with them? It draws you in with them. When you need a one, and the kid you're playing needs a one to win at trouble, it becomes a big deal. Suddenly the next one is a real important thing when you push that little popper down to get a one. Well, that's what the Sabbath is. It's way God's way of drawing us to Him. It's His way of reminding us what we were created for. What we are meant to be. And that draw is what is such a powerful thing. There's another book by somebody else that is not, I have any idea who he is, but Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest. Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest. And he wrote a chapter where he says, being Sabbath. I really got caught up in that, being Sabbath. And here's what he wrote. Others have also been Sabbath for me. When I was 18, I was already a sophomore in college and having skipped a grade in elementary school. Over the years, I had times using my intellect to mask my feelings. After completing my freshman year with a 4.0 average, I thought I would transfer from the University of Rochester to Harvard for more stimulation, prestige, and intellectual opportunity. I went to see the school counseling service to give permission to transfer and to negotiate about the particulars. The counselor was a very wise man. He saw instantly behind the mental bravado there was a tenderness and pain that my heart was deeply confused. He listened patiently to my plans and strategies, and when I finished, he said nothing about my ambitions or my schemes. After a period of silence, he simply said, "You seem sad." I was completely taken back by surprise. I felt frightened and dizzy. Suddenly, I began to weep deep, racking sobs. I wept for the better part of an hour. I wept for the loneliness in my life, for the pains of my childhood, for unnameable wounds and achings in my soul. He guided me to the carpet and let me lie on the floor, where he held my hand as I wept. His quiet, kind, quiet presence changed my life. A single moment, a touch, a Sabbath moment, undivided attention was all that was required. Once again, that moment of silence, that moment of just being with, that's what God wants each of us to experience with him on the Sabbath. Do we take those moments to disconnect? Do we take those experiences of really being in his presence? As Pastor Chelsea was talking this morning, I was impressed with one thing she kept saying is, "And Joshua and Moses sat and waited." How many stories in the Bible are where there's been a waiting time?
Upper room.
Upper room. Abraham and Sarah, how long did they wait for their first baby?
Years.
So there's something about the fact that sometimes we have to be still so we can know that he is God. There's something about that. And it's just not, sometimes we always want to find an answer. I know when I'm distressed, I want an answer. When my electricity is off, when's my power going to get back on? How long is it going to be? Don't we all? I mean, am I alone in this? And it's crazy when you think about it. It's just craziness. Go ahead.
I was just going to comment, this man is a counselor.
Oh,
he is
mm-hmm.
a grief counselor, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear him saying is that this man that interviewed him listened, mm-hmm. was listening. You know, I see people that are seriously ill every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much what I say to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the listening that makes the difference. And hopefully I could say something sort of helpful, but the listening is so important. I think about Sabbath as this great counselor is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find yourself talking to God all day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that by ceasing our activity, we allow ourselves to be in that state of maybe being able to say things to God. And what are the things that we need to be reminded of? What things do you need to be reminded of at times? I need to remember God is the thing in control. When I look at things in this world, I'm thinking, oh, this is God's world. Go ahead.
Are we going to have Sabbath in heaven?
I don't know.
It says, it's going to be seven days, or it's not going to be time.
Well, if you go with the idea we're talking about, Sabbath is a renewing thing that's part of our DNA, part of what we need. So it's not something, see, we tend to think of it arbitrarily. We tend to think, okay, seventh day, okay, now we do this, instead of, wow, we're going to continue to have the same needs. I think it'll be a different experience. I think it will be one where we are in the presence in a more dynamic sense. But
well, we're not going to be 7 days, so we're going to be a different period, different time setting for that.
I don't know. That's the mystery. What other things do you need to be reminded of about God that the Sabbath helps you to remember? Well, that He can heal, okay?
Yeah.
And at times, just when you think that and you have that thought, there's a healing presence you feel at that moment, isn't there? But how often in times we get caught up in all we're doing and we forget that He is the master physician. Absolutely. How about the rest of you? What other things do you need that help you to remind that you need to remember about God on the Sabbath?
I was just thinking of a sermon I heard of by, I think it was Clifford Goldstein, and he was talking about how he thought it was funny that a lot of people who don't keep the Sabbath point to people who keep the Sabbath as being working their way to salvation, when what they're doing is not working. But that what the Sabbath really is doing is it reminds us that it's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's not our work, but it's God. And okay. So ceasing from our regular works is a weekly reminder to us that God is the one who works out.
Okay,
our
so that's for you, helps you, I meant, taking that thing. Why about you?
Well, for me, you know, I go to work very early in the morning, I leave at 5, sometimes 4:30 in the morning, go to work. So on Sabbath mornings, especially a morning like this, my wife laughs because it gives me a chance to go out in my backyard and talk to my grapes.
Okay.
Second year, they're up on the trellis, they're starting to come across. I talk to my grapes, I think it's great.
Okay, so for you, it's a moment of just really reconnecting
relaxing
to things, okay? How about the rest of you? What are you? Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things that the Sabbath is it's our acknowledgement of God as the ultimate King.
Okay.
And as the King of our lives, accepting the fact that on the seventh day, we're supposed to sit aside that day. That means we're in obedience to Him. Along with the blessings that it brings us, it is also our chance to say, yes, we will do what you've asked us to do.
Yeah,
it creates, I think it should create a stronger bond of obedience and worship and all that ties into it. Because He did ask us to keep it.
Well, He said, remember. And that's why I said earlier, I think everyone's going to have their Sabbath experience, whether they have it, consciously choose it, or whether they have some other way. All of us are going to be stopped at some point. So I think the remembering thing to me is a matter of realizing that this was God's helping us to remind ourselves, this is what you need. And this is what you need. Go ahead. You got a lot of hands up. Go ahead.
One of the things for me is when, you know, like coming to church and coming to class and hearing things from other people, and even if I don't totally agree with what someone is saying, it can open your mind to be more receptive to God and to what He's saying, and through other people. In class and in church.
Okay, so it helps you to open your mind, hear other people share about new things. Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier that God on the fifth day reflected back on what He had created. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that we should do on Sabbath is reflect back on what He's done for us.
Absolutely.
And reflect back on creation that He created us and all the blessings that we have. And if you do that and become thankful for all of our blessings and what He's done for us, that helps prepare you to go through another week.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got Ms. Cherry said the point, too, that we've kind of passed over. It's a community. He enjoins us not to fail to meet together. And what He was setting up was a community of Him and His people. And He expects us to take part in making that. It strengthens you to know that there's a group that thinks like you do and does what you do.
Oh, there's a reinforcement, and it's meant to encourage so you go forth and have more to share. It really is. You're absolutely right.
A large part of it.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
If
you read the history of the Adventist Church, there was a lot of discussion between the members of the church. Ellen G. White and Joseph Bates was a sea captain, and he said that we should be keeping the Sabbath the way it is around the circumference of the globe. And so no matter what time of day it is, he says, the Sabbath should come according to how it is around the equator. And then they only did that for a while. And finally, Sister White said, no, because of the calendar change and everything, she said, we need to do it the way we're doing it at Seventh-day Adventist now. We go by where we are in the world, okay? In Alaska, people go to church at 12 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, they're out shopping in Point Barrow, Alaska.
I had something. Every day I get a thought for the day and a devotional, and it comes from the Ellen White estate, so it's things. Yeah. Today's was, God permits trials to assail his people that by their constancy and obedience, they themselves may be spiritually enriched. And it made me think of the Sabbath because of the constancy and obedience, and we receive the blessing
for that. Absolutely. This author says here, without rest, we respond from a survival mode where everything we meet assumes a terrifying prominence. Survival mode, everything we meet is a terrifying prominence. Go ahead, I saw some hands up.
In the end, there's going to be only two kind of people, Sabbath keeper and Sunday keeper. Not going to be nothing less. And Pope is doing the best what he can do to make that happen. I was watching on internet the other day, Doug Bachelor, Amazing Facts, how the Pope is saying, and his preacher, there's some big of his guy who is in church, you know, big leader, is saying that Catholic means universal, and he invited the world, all churches, to put under his, you know, command. So we are living in last day, and the Sabbath keeping is going to be very important if you're going to be on one side or the other side.
So it's very important, and if you're not on the right side, what happens?
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to receive mark of the beast. You know what's going to happen. You know, you're not going to be able to sell or buy. You know what's going to happen. It's going to happen. First hit, then go all around the world. Yeah. We really need to do this.
And unfortunately, that to me has created a mass hysteria about Sabbath keeping instead of the experience of Sabbath keeping. And I think that's the key, I think, as Seventh-day Adventist, in my opinion, in my experience of growing up, was lost. It's the experience of how it goes, connects you to God, instead of what that, you know, and I understand we can go on, we can have really wonderful debates about Revelation and talk about the different ideas, but the key is, what's the experience God created for us? How does it reveal his love? How does it imbue us with the love for him as our creator? Go ahead.
I think a lot about the point that was made earlier about being part of a community. If you think about it, what everyone in this room is doing right now today, in today's society, is a very radical activity. Mm-hmm. We willingly place ourselves within a church community, within a church family. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to church on Sunday for an hour and you go out and do whatever you're going to do. Mm-hmm. We are different, and that makes us different. And that whole spirit of community that we created, I mean, I'm sure all of us would agree, you can't imagine not being part of a church family. Mm-hmm. And that's the vast majority of our culture, is not part of a church family.
That's true. Go ahead.
I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of people, like I have a coworker that keeps Sunday. Mm-hmm. And she keeps it just like Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Like we keep Sabbath. She always tells me, this, you know, that's your Sabbath, this is my Sabbath. And so at what point we as Seventh-day Adventists, you know, I mean, I never say anything. What point is the seventh day important?
And, you know, like what he was talking about, you know, it comes down to, you know, at the end you got the Sunday keepers and the Sabbath, but you've got Sunday keepers that keep Sabbath, like Sabbath. So how do you share?
So then you got to go back to the debate, okay, what about Seventh-day Baptist? They keep the right day. I mean, actually, the Seventh-day Baptist tried to get the Millerites to join them. If you look at the history of things, and so, you know, there's a lot of things. To me, it's a wonderful experience of thinking about that person, and how do you connect with that person talking about what she does on her Sabbath?
Yeah, we do.
Do you share with that?
But, you know, I don't ever, you know, you're as a Seventh-day Adventist, you're, in your mind, you're like, okay, well, at what point would you share the importance of the seventh day?
What did Jesus do to the demoniacs? Did he tell them, I got to instruct you about the seventh-day Sabbath?
That's what they go by.
What did he... Did he give them the 2300-day prophecy? He said, go and tell them what happened to you as a result of beating me. And to me, that's the most powerful message that any of us can share. What happens to us as a result of our relationship with God?
In response to this lady's question, I would every morning pray, Lord, set the opportunity up for me to share. Mm-hmm. He will. He will open the door. Mm-hmm. We can't open doors sometimes, but we can be there when the door is open.
Absolutely. Go ahead and back.
It's like any other truth that God's trying to tell an individual. It's different for every individual. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts them, not us. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a time when he wants that truth presented to her, he'll tell you to do it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you simply live your life and share what you can of the spiritual community of being God's creature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Charles.
It's an interesting thing on spirit of prophecy. It talks about latter day and the seventh, you know, seventh mm-hmm. separate. But on the other hand, seventh has nothing to do with salvation. Mm-hmm. So I've always had, never understood, really I never got a really good answer based off of the spirit of prophecy saying it's going to be so important in the end time, but it has nothing to do with salvation. It seems to be a big controversy or opposites to me. I never have got an answer on why it is. There's going to be lots of people that worship on Sunday that's going to be in heaven. People who don't worship on any day are going to be in heaven. Why is the Seventh-day Sabbath going to be so important for the end time?
You know,
at a special historic time when the truth of God as creator is going to be in question, and the fact that the Sabbath represents him as our creator.
But this lady worships on Sunday.
That time hasn't come yet, and yeah. So that truth hasn't been presented.
Well, I think if you get back to the basic truths about God, it's that he loves us, and he's doing everything he can to bring us to him. And I think whatever challenges that belief, whether it be the Sabbath, the Seventh-day Sabbath. And you know what, Charles, speaking on your point, you know, I grew up that way, thinking that way too. And now as a father of a daughter who doesn't really go to church on Sabbath, it's real comforting to me to realize he's working, doing everything he can to bring him in a relationship to God, to himself. And it's not about her going to the church that she was a part with me. I want to read something here in Exodus. But Moses said to the people, this is 13 or 14, chapter 3, verse 13. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Now, obviously, that was in connection to the children of Israel. They're standing there, with the Israelites, the Egyptians pursuing them, and they were going to cross over in the Red Sea. But I think that statement, be still, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. To me, that's what the Sabbath is about. It's creating a silence and a recognition that the Lord is in charge, that the Lord is fighting for each one of us to bring us in the continual connection to Him. Because that's going to be the ultimate saving grace, is a relationship with God. Shall we pray? Dear God, we are grateful that we experience a rest and a rejuvenation on the Sabbath, and that you understand us so well that you continually remind us to remember the Sabbath day. Not to remember so that you then can say, oh, you've done the right thing, but to remember because in connection with you, we are who we're intended to be. May each one of us experience the rest and recreation that you intend for us today so that we can continually experience the relationship with you in a more dynamic way. Thank you for this class and this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.